Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. If you've lived in poverty, you understand the challenges all too well. But many South Dakotans, though they have experienced tough times throughout their lives, don't have that deeper understanding of the harsh realities people living in poverty face. Western Dakota Tech is hosting a poverty simulation on June 21st. Barb Garcia is facilitator. She joins us now with a preview on the phone from Rapid City. Barb Garcia, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Give us an idea of what exactly a poverty simulation or simulator is.
Well, a poverty simulation, the point of it is we attempt to illustrate all the main issues and barriers that people living in poverty or living without homes or who are returning from prison face on a day-to-day basis. So what we will do is we'll live one month in the life of real family scenarios. And we'll set up a community, our community of Realville in Western Dakota Tech at their facility. And as the attendees come in, they'll be assigned to families. And each family is provided with information about what their living situation is. Whether they're working or not, they have kids in school, how much they make, what bills they need to pay in that month. And the goal and challenge that we provide for each family is for them to meet their obligations in that month for paying for their food, their rent, their car payments, going to their job, or going to school. And in doing that, we're hoping that their experiences will help them understand a little bit better what people living in poverty are going through every day.
Give me an idea of why do this. What is it that specifically, I'm hoping we can put it in context of the place, you know, like in Rapid City, in Western South Dakota, in South Dakota. What does this look like here? Do you think people have an awareness of how pervasive poverty actually is? When they walk through their own neighborhoods, they might not notice it or see it or understand it.
People truly don't understand all of the facets of poverty. Unless you have truly lived it. We've all had situational poverty. Right. Maybe when you were a student in college, or maybe your parent lost a job and, you know, for several months you had to tighten your belts, but they were able to get another job quickly. We all have what is called situational poverty, but that's very different than what is generational poverty, where your parents were living in poverty and homeless parts of the year, migrant workers, you know, where you've never had a home, you just kept moving and staying in shelters. That creates a whole different set of challenges and barriers that the rest of us have never truly experienced, so it's hard to understand it. And we think, I hear a lot in our community, well, if they would just get a job, if they weren't so lazy, they just don't want to work. And that's not true. The vast majority of the homeless and people who are living in poverty are working 2 and 3 jobs. They're working more than we are. Yeah. And but they can't ever get ahead because those wages aren't enough and their costs exceed what those minimum wage jobs are. In Rapid, we have, at our last homeless count this year in 2018, 385 homeless folks in our community. And people do see them on the street walking around. There are a handful of them. And those are usually the chronic, in the worst shape people, shall we say. Those who are the chronic alcoholics are people with severe mental illness. And we tend to put that vision on all the rest of them. And it's truly not the case. They're a very small minority of the group.
Yeah. One of the things that you spoke about, what you hear in the community about poverty, and one of the things that I hear is the sense that when times are tough, people say, you know, I'm broke, I'm poor, I don't have money for this. And this is different than what these people in the simulation, that you'll represent in the simulation, are really going through. That seems to me might be a bit of perspective for attendees who have experienced their own tough times and their own hardships and sometimes not being able to meet all their obligations. teaching empathy here in some ways, as well as the facts of the situation?
Yes. That's a lot of it, is making them truly understand all of the aspects. And the simulation is built to do that. It's built to bring in all of those other factors that we don't think about how hard transportation is.
Right.
We run out and jump in our cars and we drive across town to the grocery store and we're in and out and we can get home in a few minutes. If you don't have a car, and in our community of Rapid City, we just lost 3 grocery stores, it's much farther. It's much more difficult even to get services. Our services are separated by 5 and 6 miles across town. You have to go in all directions to get your services. So for a person on foot, that is overwhelming, especially with the weather that we deal with in our state.
Right, right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Barb Garcia, my guest on today's In the Moment. We're talking about a poverty simulation at Western Dakota Tech, and it's from 8 a.m. to 12:30 on Thursday, June 21st. And who is it recommended for? Who would you like to come in and participate?
Everyone. The issue of homelessness and poverty is one that, if we're going to address it, it has to be a community effort. There is no way we as a government have enough money and wherewithal to do it. It's not what government is set up to do. We are set up to try to help others do it. Nonprofits are overloaded as they are with the numbers of people who are living in poverty and experiencing food insecurity and all of the other issues that come with poverty. Mm-hmm. We have to have the businesses. I mean, these are their employees. Many of our employees, if they're making minimum wage, you are just barely above poverty. Mm. So, and if you're a single mom, with a couple of kids or even one child, you can't work enough jobs to afford an apartment. And that's part of the problem, is our wages aren't enough. And so they might get into an apartment with some assistance, but they can only maintain it for 2 or 3 months before they get behind and then get evicted. And the whole cycle starts over and over. And we don't have enough housing units in our communities. We are easily 1,400 units short. Mm-hmm. Even if I just look at my homeless count of 385 people, there were 302 homeless households without children. So there's 302 units that I'm short. We have a 2-year waiting list for public housing.
Wow.
So you have to have several things going at the same time. We can address trying to get them job training, and we can try to help with more education. But if we don't have housing units for them to move into, all that goes to the wayside, because you can't hold down the job when you don't know where you're sleeping tonight.
Right.
We have to have a multi-pronged approach if we hope to actually change this as a community, make a systemic change so that we can help raise them up on their own.
Is there a healthcare component to the simulation? I mean, people get sick.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have a little of everything in this. People can have a child get sick and they have to leave work. You can have a broken arm. You can have somebody break into your house and now you have to go home and take care of that. It brings up a lot of the scenarios that are all of the scenarios. This kit that we use was created by the Missouri Community Action Group, and they based every scenario on their actual clients. So these are the actual scenarios of the people they were helping when they created this whole process. And it truly does help people to see the 360 view. Even those of us who are in the business and who've worked with people in poverty or homeless for years, we think we know what they're going through. And it was real eye-opening for me when I went through the simulation. I've been working with very low-income people for many years. But we only see the part of them that they come to us for.
Oh, sure.
You don't see all of the other forces that cause them not to make your appointment. And this brought that up for, say, Consumer Credit Counseling Service. They attended one of our simulations, and Bonnie afterwards said, you know, we had a no-show rate for our appointments of 75%. And these are people who call and say they want to come. They're not being sent to us. They ask to come in, but they never show up. And she went through the simulation. She said, you know what? I now know why. They can't leave their jobs. They don't have time off. They went to night appointments, 100% show rate.
Wow.
So this is what it's for. It's those aha moments, not just for those of us in the service industry or government, but also for the community who don't really come in contact with them and don't know how to help. Hopefully this will help them understand how they can help in our community to change this dynamic.
And do you think, in just our remaining 30 seconds here, Barb, do you think that that broad-based systemic change can come from this eventually, if you keep, you know, bringing the message home?
Yes, I've been putting on these simulations since 2007 when we got the kit. Over 5,000 people have gone through the simulations in the state so far. And we are seeing that change. That's part of what our new transition or transformation center, One Heart, is all about, is trying to do this systemic change, finally getting enough people on board who now see it's a broader spectrum and that they all need to come to the table. And here in Rapid, that's what we're doing. And, you know, we're out there to help the rest of the state, too. I do travel all over the state to put
Barb,
them on.
Thank you so much for your time. We'll hope to have you back and have more of this conversation in the future. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.